everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring. Megan, how are you feeling this morning?
You know, I'm cool as beans.
Cool as beans. Ben, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling so good I could become a bear.
Good, so good you could become a bear.
Are you going to become a bear?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I feel so good I could become a bear and eat a horse.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, you guys, I'm feeling a little sleepy. You want to know why?
Why?
Were you up all night playing Magic the Gathering?
No. I was watching Pro Tour coverage.
Pro Tour coverage.
What? Burr, 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 burr. That's what I did all during work yesterday.
We are productive.
Yes, we are.
Thankfully, your boss doesn't know what magic is.
No, she really doesn't. Sometimes I think that there are things on the internet in general that she doesn't know what they are.
Like Google?
Well, like blogs.
She doesn't know what a blog is?
She knows what a blog is. I don't think she really gets it, though. Anyways.
Anyways, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Ben.
I'm another host, Megan.
And I'm the third host, rounding out our trio of three, Maria.
I taught these two a-holes how to play Magic the Gathering, and ever since, they've been pestering me with questions. And so I brought it into a public forum and the recommendation of my psychologist.
What's an a-hole?
It's where you poop from.
Oh.
You guys are where I poop from.
We've got a great show coming up for you today, everybody. We're going to talk about the Pro Tour, which just got done in Dublin, of all places on the planet.
What?
Home of potatoes.
Gaelic.
Gaelic and no snakes.
No snakes.
Dublin.
Done with snakes. Done with snakes.
We're also going to talk about PTQ that we recently visited in Iowa.
What? We did that?
We did, Megan.
Was I there?
You were.
Weird.
I don't know why you don't remember it.
She's been using repressed memory techniques to forget the entire experience.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
It was humiliating.
It was so embarrassing. Was it?
We'll get to it.
Trust us, Megan.
Okay.
We've also got a new game to play with you guys called Pitcher Pack. Oh, stay tuned for that. And we're going to do some iTunes usernames at the end of the show.
Wah, 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 wah.
For the noobs.
Cool.
So you guys, Pro Tour Dublin.
Yeah.
What the heck?
What is a Pro Tour?
Yeah.
Says the noob.
Well,
it's made up of two words, pro and tour.
All right,
pro is actually short for professional.
And tour is actually short for tourism.
Professional tourism. It's a convention for people who are professionally tourists.
Oh.
It in fact has nothing to do with magic. Maria and I were just exploring it as a hobby, but we decided it's too expensive.
You know, I've been thinking about, I've been taking a lot of out of focus disposable pictures.
Oh, nice. Oh. Nice.
And I was thinking about doing that full time.
Yeah, professional tourism is totally for you.
It's totally for you.
Oh my gosh. I've also been dabbling in convincing myself that I should just buy a postcard instead of taking a picture myself.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's good.
Professional tourism, totally for you.
Or handing a camera to a stranger and then having it stolen.
Yeah.
Professional tourism will help you with
that. How do you feel about only having one pair of underwear for a month?
I feel good.
Okay,
professional tourism.
Yeah, done. Yep. Can I tell you guys the secret?
Sure.
Yeah.
I lied. That scares me. One pair of underwear scares me.
Ben, you just washed them in a sink. Professional tourism.
Oh.
Ben.
I'm not gonna.
Hopefully,
guys,
they have some foaming hand soap.
Guys,
professional tourism.
Let's get real. I'm not gonna wash my own underwear.
Ben's past that in his life.
Okay. Stay at a fancy enough hotel and they will wash them for you. Professional tourism.
We're lying to you guys. Don't listen to us. That's not what the Pro Tour is.
It's not.
It's where the best Magic players in the universe converge to play a big tournament and win some cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
So anybody can just show up?
No, Ben, they can't.
How do you get there?
Well, you have to
kiss the Blarney Stone?
Yes.
You guys, I've kissed the Blarney Stone.
Nice.
It is disgusting.
Did it kiss back?
It could have. It was covered with so much.
How does it rank
mouth mold
as a kisser in terms of rocks?
Okay, it was above the first guy I kissed.
Better or worse than the Thing from Fantastic Four?
Ooh, I think the Thing would be. Well, he looks like he needs chapstick.
He might be accidentally too forceful.
And destroy your skull.
He would smash your face.
That seems likely.
You have to go upside down to kiss it. Uh-huh. It's a wall of a castle. You have to go upside down and it is wet. You guys, there's a line.
I feel like that's better than dry. Gross.
You're right. It is better than dry because the rock would be the rock. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, how would he rate in terms of kissers? I think pretty high.
Pretty good. In terms of rock kissers.
The Rock, Dwayne the Rock Johnson would be pretty high.
Anyway,
to actually get on the Pro Tour, you have to qualify in one of three major categories.
Three ways.
First of all.
Go for it, Ben.
Megan will describe how to win a Pro Tour qualifier.
So, almost, I think every weekend during the year, there is a Pro Tour qualifier, PTQ somewhere. Many weekends, there are multiple PTQs.
Not a PDQ. That's a car wash.
Yep. A PTQ, as in a Pro Tour qualifier. And if you win a Pro Tour qualifier, then you get an invitation to the Pro Tour that the PTQ is for. And Wizards also buys your plane ticket to that Pro Tour.
What class are we talking?
Just normal. Nope, normal. Yeah. Normal. But you get class to decide the dates of your flight. You get to tell them when you're going to fly there.
I'm going to decide after the Pro Tour's done.
You can also, once you're on the Pro Tour, you can qualify through having a certain number of Pro Tour points, which Maria will describe now.
You get points when you play games and you win.
What?
In sanctioned events.
Yeah.
And then also, if you do well enough in a Grand Prix, I believe it's the top four of a Grand Prix.
Depending on the size, it could be the top eight.
Yeah, they will also qualify to be invited to this tour. And you can get a special invitation if Wizards just thinks you're cool.
Yep.
That's what I'm counting on.
Or if you're in the Magic Hall of Fame, which I am not. Are you guys?
No.
Listener, I don't know if you are or not, but yeah. answer for yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're automatically qualified for the rest of your life.
Really?
Ooh. For all you Pro just Tour show events. Up yeah.
Whenever? What?
Yeah, because I mean, those are the best of the best. They want them to come.
So you
to
could
all the events.
Not play for a decade, and then just show up to a Pro Tour.
Yeah.
That's
They're
amazing.
Not going to pay your airfare still, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
No.
But various levels of pro, like Platinum Pro, Gold Pro, etc.
I think Platinum Pro is the only one where you get a plane ticket and you also get an appearance like fee.
Yeah, so you have to
for
put
showing up.
Very good results in order to have all your expenses paid for you. So the term professional may be used a bit over vigorously in this description.
And I don't know exactly. Go ahead.
In fact, I don't know if they should call it the Pro Tour. Maybe they should just call it the Fritter.
Like with an apostrophe?
Yeah, like they don't get the full pro.
Okay.
They should have to shorten it even further.
I don't know what gold pros, like what their invitation is like. I know that silver pros, you get an invitation to the next Pro Tour, which you failed to qualify for.
Oh.
So say you're a silver pro, you win a PTQ and you qualify for Dublin, but then you don't win a PTQ to qualify for Valencia. Your silver pro will get you an invite to Valencia, but you're not going to get another invite to the one after
what
that.
What I want to know is, are the invites printed on really high quality paper? Like
that's the big secret.
When my cousins keep getting married?
Yeah, you don't know until you get one.
I don't know. We don't know, Ben.
That's what I want to know. Listener, if you've received a Pro Tour qualification, just send it to me because I want to see what it looks like.
Forward it on.
Not because I want to steal your Pro Tour invite. No big deal.
Yeah. So how many people are playing in these Pro Tour events?
Is it somewhere around 400?
I think it might be less than that even.
It's not a lot.
I think it's in the hundreds. It's a few hundred.
So this is like the height of Magic sanctioned events is the Pro Tour.
I'm going to answer this question.
Okay, bye, Megan.
Yeah, the tournaments have a lot more prize money total than a Grand Prix, and obviously than local tournament.
$250,000. $250,000 if you couldn't hear Megan's shrill scream from across the room.
It's kind of distributed across the spectrum. So, like, sure. Even if you are in the top 32 or so, you're still going to win some money. And so that draws the best of the best. And then because you have to be qualified for it, there's also the bar is just a lot higher than in an open event where you might be paired up against someone who hasn't been playing that long. In these events, you definitely have to demonstrate a high skill level to even be invited.
Right.
And because, you know, there's always Hall of Famers present and all that stuff, it's a very tough field. They also go for 3 days or 2.5 days or something.
Yeah.
And it's like 16 rounds, I believe.
That's a marathon for the mind.
It is. Not for the weak of mind.
Or spirit.
428 players.
Okay.
At Pro Tour Dublin. Okay.
At Pro Tour Dublin.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
Yeah, yep. and they only have 4 pro tours a year.
Yeah.
Starting soon, they just added one, but there's not that many of them compared to other kinds of Magic tournaments, so they are a big deal.
And so the way, I don't know if you guys talked about this, the way that it's structured is that there's 3 days. It starts on Friday. Mm. There's a booster
Friday's
draft.
Friday's like more of a meet and greet. You have breakfast.
Nope.
There's like a tray with 2 strawberries on it and some grapes and some melons.
Nope. Some whipped cream.
And you can get some coffee. And then everyone has a name tag and they're kind of like, hi.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Dan.
My name's Oscar. Hi, Dan.
I'm Dan from Missouri.
Do you play Magic? Or is that why you're here?
Yeah, I'm playing in the tournament.
Okay, well, we should play some games.
Oh, I don't know.
It's where people make their best friends.
Is like there's sessions where it's like, okay.
There's lots of swimming.
This is how to tap mana. There's lunch and swim.
Yep, mm-hmm. Lunch and swim.
Where you swim and eat sandwiches.
My favorite event, the indoor beach volleyball tournament.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Day 3, orgy.
What? Oh, okay. Not a lot of people make it to day 3.
No, it's cut.
No, there's a very...
The top 8 is very elite.
It's the top 8 people who have socially enjoyed themselves over the course of the weekend.
No, that's not true. Okay, we're liars.
Don't listen to us. Okay, so the way it works is Friday morning there's a booster draft that goes 3 rounds. So the first 3 rounds are a booster draft. And then there's 5 more rounds of standard after that.
Mm.
After Friday, people with 12 match points, mm-hmm. so that's at least 4 wins, get to move on to day 2.
Mm.
Yeah.
Day 2 is 8 more rounds,
mm.
and then after that, there's a cut to the top 8, which is Sunday.
And those games are not just 3 rounds.
No, in the top 8, it is
5 games.
5 games.
What? That's a nice bonus. You don't have to go and travel, and then you get at least
screwed.
You get at least 3 games in the top 8.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
So make them count.
So you really get your money's worth.
Oh yeah, you're in the top 8, you're really worried about making your money count.
I think this has been our most informative for the noobs yet. Most of the information has been false.
Well, wait.
But it was a lot of information.
There was a lot. And the truth is in there. You just have to pick it out.
You just have to find it. Yeah.
I would say the truth is out there. But
yeah.
Okay, so we are looking at some brand new standard decks that are just peeking their heads out of the standard hole.
Yeah.
We saw them at Pro Tour Theros.
Yep. So lots of teams, they go to Dublin. They go to Dublin a week or two early, and they spend... they spend a week trying to develop what they think is going to be the best deck that they can come up
with.
And
that's the best part of the Pro Tour weekend is watching those new decks get squeezed out of the standard birth canal.
Mm.
Yep.
Yep. And get the umbilical cord cut and a spanking on their way.
And then they go
wiping
into
all that fluid off.
And then all of those standard babies go into a fight pit.
Yeah. And then the strongest baby emerges and is...
And
adopted and given a name.
Yay!
The rest are sacrificed to desecration demons.
Tell me about it. Speaking of which.
Yeah. That's a
card.
We got to see some desecration demon action.
Yeah.
At Pro Tour Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, if you have 4 mana, why not spend it?
On a 6-6 flyer.
Tell me about it.
Oh, boy.
That's bargain basement prices.
Bargain basement.
Come get in and get your desecration demon. Oh, 665 for the price of four, man.
Watch out for those triggers.
You guys, we saw some neat new archetypes. Mono blue, for instance.
Oh.
Ooh, that deck has been performing well. It's pretty sweet.
It was kind of neat.
Yeah. It's a mono blue devotion deck, which is a new, it's a thing that's been happening this weekend. We've seen a lot of devotion decks.
Yes.
Which are about, in the case of mono blue, getting devoted to Thassa, hitting people with the 5/5 indestructible that maybe you can also make unblockable.
You know, you can make any of your dudes unblockable with Thassa.
That's true.
So a lot of the mono blue decks were running a card called Tidebinder Mage, which costs blue to cast.
Hey.
And it can tap down an opponent's red or green creature.
It sure can. And honestly, even if it doesn't tap something down, you just got blue devotion. Towards your devotion. Man.
That was when I was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I remember that guy. Here he is now, is his big time in the spotlight.
No one, at first no one was like, everyone was like, Tidebinder Mage?
Who cares?
Whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
And now they're like Tidebinder Mage?
Do you want to
go
some of that.
See the next James Bond movie?
Mm-hmm. With me?
Yeah.
Maybe we could go to dinner after. It's just an idea.
Dinner before.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Before, after, and during. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We also saw Mono Red.
Oh, yeah. Mono Red. That's been a thing. We also saw some of that at the SCG Open two weekends ago.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about that in Megan's Standard Corner.
Mono
Red isn't like it's a new kind of deck. I mean, it's been around, you guys.
But it got some pretty
sweet
additions.
Been around longer than gingers.
With what?
I wonder who the first ginger was.
St. Patrick.
The proto-ginger.
Who was the proto-ginger? I want to trace back. Find ginger patient one.
If you are a ginger, please send your genealogy tree to @MTAcast on Twitter.
Or you can email it to us. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
We'll figure it out.
Or you can... friend us on our genealogy.com profile.
Ancestry.com.
Sure.
We got both of them.
Yep. But they had a pretty sweet addition in Fanatic of Mogus.
Oh, yeah.
Because, man, you get enough little red dudes out there, some Burning Tree Emissaries, some, you know, other Rakdos Cacklers, that sort of thing. And then you put down that Fanatic of Mogus and hit him for 5, 6, 7 damage to the face.
Fanatic of Mogus will deal damage to your opponent equal to the number of red mana symbols and the casting cost of your creatures already on the battlefield when he enters. So he's kind of like a little bit of a bastard.
Yep.
He reminds me of a really devoted fan of a football team.
Like the Redskins?
Sure.
I mean, it's in their name. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So he's like, oh,
I thought you were just trying to bring up a racist stereotype controversy into the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that was awkward.
Oh, God.
Did you know that they're people are basically forcing them to change their names? The Redskins?
Really?
Yeah.
I saw a protest.
Because it's super duper racist.
Yeah, it is. It's
really racist.
All right.
Are they going to change it?
I mean, the owner is being kind of a giant bitch about it.
Yeah, the owner's like, we will never change it. And I think because he said never,
everyone's like,
now you have to.
Was that a challenge? It sounded like a challenge.
What you meant, Ben, is that he's so devoted to the team that he'll kill people.
He'll deal any amount of damage.
Yep.
That guy's crazy.
He is crazy.
I made a draft deck with 2 Fanatic of Moguses in it.
Oh, snap.
It was mostly red. Needless to say, that was good. Mono Green also made an appearance at Pro Tour Dublin.
Ooh,
jeez.
Boy.
We're getting all mono up in here. It's
I
like
know,
middle
it's
school
like
after
high school
kissing.
All over again. Middle, oh, school? Middle school? Yeah, okay. Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in high school.
It's like late college all over again. Am I right, guys?
Is that it's like the first week after like my wedding? Oh. Right, guys?
Right? What were we talking about?
Mono green.
Oh, mono green.
Mono green was a deck. What about mono black? That was the up and comer that I had my horse ponies on.
Yeah, I didn't see any up there.
Oh.
Although there has been a little bit of talk of, this isn't mono black, but a little of Whip of Erebos and Obsidat Ghost Council.
Oh.
Because that Obsidat ever ends up in your graveyard, you can use the whip to whip him back.
And let's be honest.
He's just back in.
Why would my Ghost Council be in my graveyard?
You never know. Your opponent might have spent a lot of time planning on how to get that done.
He set up a trap.
He set up a trap.
Ghost Snare.
Yes.
It's definitely an artifact.
Your opponent's deck is called Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And it is specifically targeted at getting rid of Obsidat.
Right. So the way Obsidat works is he can exile himself at the end of turn, which means if you whip him back, normally the whip makes you exile the creature that you return, so you can't whip him again. But
it turns out that exiling Obsidat to his own exile ability also fulfills the whip's need to exile him.
Right. Right.
That whip is needy.
So you just get him back. He's just back in action.
Yes. So what are the biggest 80s references we can make to decks in Standard right now? Obviously, we are whipping it good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With Devo. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. What else is there?
We didn't start the fire. Mono red.
Yeah, mono red. Sure. Sure.
We're not going to take it, which is a blue-white control. We're just not going to take the.
Or
we're not going to take damage from your creatures.
That's also a draft strategy. We're not going to take it.
We're not going to take it, which is where you pass everything and you don't draft any cards.
That was a lesser known hit. We're not going to take this highly.
White Wedding is White Weenie.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Sure. The Power of Love.
Oh, yeah, that's.
That's the.
Nykthos Shrine.
Yeah, that's any Nykthos.
Because you love the.
Yeah, Nykthos. This is a big card in Standard right now. It adds. It's basically like it lets you ramp into a lot of mana if you have a lot of stuff.
Oh, that mono green deck, man. Or I guess it's technically like green red because there's a little bit of red, but it's the deck that's been I think it's number one at least right now. In my heart.
Don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried. Anyway.
All right.
I thought of another song.
What?
Let's Hear It for the Boy is green red mid range with Domri Raid.
Nice.
Because he's a boy.
What song
is
it?
Let's hear it for the boy. It's from Footloose. Let's give the boy a hand.
I don't actually know that song.
Can we do a live viewing of that movie?
No, that movie is awful.
Is it?
It's not so bad.
No, Maria, it is the worst.
Oh my gosh.
It was so bad it wasn't enjoyable bad. It was only bad.
Guys, internal conflict on the podcast. I apologize for exposing our dirty laundry like this. Big controversy. Now I have to watch it just to decide who gets kicked out of the podcast.
All right.
Yeah.
This mono green deck, it's getting devoted to Nylea. It has Pelucranos, World Eater, and Nykthos Shrine to Nyx. So you can potentially get a lot of devotion to green, then tap that Nykthos when you're making your Pelucranos monstrous.
And if the game's not going your way, you can just threaten to eat the world.
I will eat this world. I will eat it. I'm going to eat this world.
You concede or I eat the world.
I will eat your world.
Oh, Jesus, okay. I concede.
And with Nylea out, they have trample.
I got you. My card can't actually eat the world. You fell for the oldest rube in the book, noob.
I'm just going to go home and masturbate.
Get out of my Pro Tour.
Okay, bye.
You guys, do you know what I realized while watching Pro Tour Theros coverage?
What?
When they do their little intro screen between all their segments with they go past all the gods. In the end, the word Theros.
Volcano.
Yeah.
Elspeth.
Zanagos, who apparently is a giant. I didn't realize Zanagos was a giant satyr, but he is huge if you watch that little intro video.
Okay.
And then the word assembles, and I'm like, oh, Theros is just heroes with a T put in front of it.
But spelled wrong.
Heroes. Oh, you're right. There's no ES.
Yeah. They took out the E. They refurbished the E into a T.
I don't think, you guys, I don't think it's a coincidence. I'm just going to say that.
I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
Thank you. Song fantasy?
I think they started with the base word hero, and they're like, so...
What can we do?
So let's now...
let's make this word Greek.
Guys, I actually... The technology is not really ready, but I invented a device that opens a portal to other worlds.
What? Oh.
And so we can travel to some of those other worlds and see what Theros might have been named in some of those other worlds.
Oh, let's go through
it. Okay, let's go.
All right, here we go.
You guys,
wow.
I'm so excited to play Cheeros this weekend.
Cheeros is so fun. I love the mechanic Cheroic.
Yeah, the Cheroic mechanic is so great.
You get a 1-1 Cheerio token.
Yeah, and if you're hungry, you can just snack on it.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so excited to play Euros, you guys.
Oh, man. Yeah, you can make a 1-1 Euro token.
God, I'm always so fucking hungry playing this set. I don't know why.
Hello. I am so very excited in Communist America to play a new magic set, Viroff.
Yes, comrade.
I am particularly devoted to dark red, although I also enjoy light red archetype and medium red.
Oh, is your favorite planeswalker Stalin or Lenin?
Favorite planeswalker is Stalin Lenin.
Wow, you guys. I'm happy we don't live in any of those parallel universes.
I'm so glad we're finally back.
Yeah.
I wonder if anything happened while we were gone.
I just looked at the newspaper. Nope.
Nope. Okay.
My toes all turned to waffle sticks.
Delicious.
PTQ fun times.
Wow.
You guys, we went to a PTQ recently.
Yeah, we did.
Sweet.
It was in Ames, Iowa. The heart of America.
The heart of America's corn problem.
The heart of Iowa State University?
America has a corn problem.
It is the home of Iowa State. Go Clones, which is short for Cyclones.
That's confusing.
Well, it's confusing if you're playing Magic.
If you're anyone else.
Otherwise, it's fine. Good thing it wasn't an M13 tournament, am I right?
Yeah, this was my first PTQ.
Mine also.
It was my second.
Nice.
It was also my second time in Ames. I think it was my third time in Ames.
Okay. It was my
but
first
that's
time
not,
in Ames.
That's not relevant.
You always remember your first time in Ames.
But my brother got married there, so shout out to my brother who does not listen to this podcast.
Nice. Cool, cool, cool.
So,
but shout out to my other brother that does, because now I can't give a shout out to one of my brothers.
No, you can't.
Yeah, no.
And shout out to my sister.
Oh, are you done?
Shout out to all of my people who are siblings in my heart, which is all of you.
Okay. Shout out to my brother.
Yeah. He plays Magic, right?
I mean, we have this dynamic where if I start doing something and he was doing it, he quits. Nice. And if I do something, he just never tries it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you haven't told him?
Probably not anymore.
Yeah.
No, he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't really play it anymore, I don't think.
Okay.
Okay.
Boom.
Anyway, siblings. This was sealed.
Yeah, it was.
Theros sealed PTQ. So I was really excited because...
Oh, also...
What?
Shout out
to
any potential future siblings. If my parents get divorced and remarried.
Or if future your mom sibling, pops out.
Yeah, or your future sibling-in-laws if you get married.
That's true. That oh, shit.
You could have so many
Shout out to my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Who also got married in Ames. Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
Your present will be coming any day now.
All right. So, Maria.
Yes, Megan.
What were you excited about?
I was excited because I love Limited, you guys. You all know that.
Yep. Mm.
And I think Sealed is super fun because there's not the stress of a draft, which is a fun process, but it can be a little stressful when you're making your picks. So Sealed, you just like eliminate the stress of a draft.
You just lay them out.
There you go.
You put your feet up.
Yep.
You just say, what do I want to do with this blank canvas?
Yep.
Where do I want to paint my fingers?
This is what cards I've been dealt. Now I've got to make a banana sundae out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I really, really enjoy that. And you get to be really creative with your deck building. And it helps if you know a little bit about the, you know, archetypes that work in the format you're playing. Anyway, really excited. And I had quite a good sealed pool, including Thassa and Master of Waves.
Ooh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice. Sounds like you're working on some blue devotion over there.
Yeah, I was, in fact. It was a white-blue aggressive deck with a heroic sub-theme.
Heroic.
Ooh.
Okay, what just happened to me? I had a slight seizure. A heroic sub-theme. Mm. So, yeah. I dropped after the third round.
No, you dropped after the fourth round.
Oh, yeah, after the fourth round. I lost my first two, and then you're out. And then I won my third one, but then I decided to drop to play Modern Masters.
Nice.
Needless to say, I had the distinct impression that my deck was better than I was doing. I don't know if that is my problem, if I was unlucky or played really good decks, which I did in a few cases, or if I should have just been playing it differently. You know, these are things that a learner has to deal with.
These are the things, the answers may elude you forever.
Yeah.
Much as the quest to explain dark matter in the universe.
Yeah.
Similar problems.
Yeah.
So I felt like my sealed pool really wanted me to go three colors, and I did have a little bit of fixing, but I was really kind of nervous about doing that.
Yeah.
And I, in retrospect, like when I went home and I laid out the deck and I looked at it, I had gone blue-white with sort of like a weird life gain sub-theme going on.
Mm.
And then I really had some really solid red cards, which I think could have played well in the deck. And in retrospect, I went home and I laid it out and I was like, yeah, I think I should have just gotten over my squeamishness. It wasn't a lot of red. It would have been a red splash. And I think it would have brought a lot to the deck.
Well, the place to play three colors, you know, is sealed.
And
usually what you want to do in sealed is you want your deck to have upside. You want it to have the potential to do big things. And generally, you're willing to take a little bit of a risk in a tournament like that, because often there'll be a lot of cases where you need some luck on your side anyways. You might as well give yourself the chance to go big or to go home.
Yes.
For sure.
I had a pool that I built as blue-red, splashing some black for the 6/6 Cerberus card.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. The three-headed Cerberus monster. And I ended up doing 1-3 and then dropping. So my results were not that great. The decks that I lost to aggroed me out pretty quickly. And when I looked at my pool later, I also thought, you know, I could have done a build, maybe a blue-green build that would have been a little more resilient to fast starts. But I don't know if that's the right strategy or if I...
The thing about, I think...
If I just got unlucky to face those decks. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to know.
It is. And this format is so variable, I found, from just the little bit of drafting and playing we've done in it. You can play against a deck that is super fast and just comes at you.
Yeah.
Heroically, you know, or otherwise. Just boom, 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 and you can't recover.
There are a lot of heroic things where...
Especially green-white, I think, is especially good at that. But then again, there are also controlling strategies. So I think you have the spectrum of decks you could face here.
Yeah. I've had to fight against a red-white deck that had some of those hoplites.
Oh, yeah.
That a crow and hoplite.
Yeah, some hoplites. Ouch. And some fast creatures. And I was like, I had a lot of bounce in my pool, but I did not have a lot of early pressure to back it up.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I found is that not a great combo.
Yeah, I found that I went 2-2-1 and then dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I really found that I had a Master of Waves. No, not a Master of Waves. Wavecrash Triton.
Yes.
And a lot of ways to target him. So there were some games where I got him out and I just targeted him, which is insane.
It taps down a creature
and it doesn't untap during their next untap.
Yeah, if you can play him and then like put an ordeal on him, attack.
Yeah.
And then put the 2/2 flying bestow guy on him for 5 mana and then attack. It's like, oh, well, now you have one chance to do something.
Yeah.
And you better make it count, because then you lose and I take your car.
Yeah. But I also only had bounce. I had a Voyage's End and a Griptide and 2 Mnemonic Walls to get them back.
Yeah.
And there were times when I could cast a Voyage's End or a Griptide like 4 times each. Which was absurd.
Because of your your Mnemonic Walls?
Yes, exactly. Mnemonic Walls. But I didn't have, especially in late game, I didn't have a way to answer their biggest cards.
Oh.
Permanently, which really became an issue.
Something that's great about Theros, though, is its ability to let your deck be flexible. More flexible than, say, an M14, which was so much more straightforward than Theros,
yeah.
I think. And in Theros, you have the ability to resize your deck, or what am I trying to say? Resize to fit the situation, you know?
With bestow.
With bestow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it gives you a lot of opportunity to like think about the long game.
Yeah.
Which is good, because
this is one thing I've noticed about drafting specifically.
Yeah.
The bestow creatures seem very, very important.
Yes, I agree.
All of them are very good. I think the only one that's not insane is the black 2/2. The one that gives...
Cavern Lamphead.
Cavern Lamphead. It gives Intimidate. And the only reason it's not good is because it costs 4 mana to cast and 6 mana to bestow, both of which are not that impressive for the effect.
Yeah.
All of the other ones are just like, blah, 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 what, blah, blah.
Take them.
Even you guys, this is... Like I said, my deck had a life gain sub theme.
Yeah.
Because I was playing Hopeful Eidolons.
Yeah, even
as a way to target things, and at 4 mana.
Yeah.
Like that's, and it's an effect that sticks around.
Think about it.
It's life gain, and it's a way to trigger heroic.
Yeah, the Eidolon I think is really good.
The Baleful Eidolon is also
both
very
good.
Both
of them are very good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's the Death Touch Eidolon.
Yeah. Yep. So get those starboarded cards in your deck.
The Celestial Archon is also very good.
Okay, that's obvious.
I played against a guy. We ended up drawing.
Yeah.
Because I ended up sideboarding in just only answers. He had a Whip of Erebos and a Celestial Archon. And first game he played both of those and I was like, what the hell? So I sideboarded in a bunch of stuff. And then he played, what is it? Daxos or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah,
the blue white.
Daxos, Citizen Emperor of Melitos.
A fabled hero.
That might be wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A fabled hero.
2/2 double strike with heroic?
Yes.
Yeah.
And a triad of fates.
Wow.
And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's a lot of rares.
It was a lot. I think he was playing all of his rares. All of his rares were in the same, were in 3 colors. It was gross. But you know what, guys? We drew because I sideboarded in only things that could kill it. So I was never going to win game 3. I was never going to win it.
But you were never going to allow
but
him to win
gonna,
it.
But I wasn't going to lose it either.
And so his kids can never get that operation they've been saving for.
No. So what would you guys do differently in a future PTQ?
The main difference in my strategy, if I were to attempt another PTQ run, would be more preparation, more practice, building pools and discussing pools with skilled colleagues whose opinions I trust.
Very nice.
Yes.
Maria, what would you do differently?
I
don't know what accent that was.
I would bring my own decanter of shandy. Because the shandy they serve at these
yes.
things is subpar.
The conference room shandy might as well be commonplace camembert.
Yes. I also plan to hide a card in my mustache.
Perhaps a basic land?
Oh, look at this.
Oh.
A chew. Oh.
Oh.
Now I have my mountain I need. In all seriousness, I just agree with what Ben said.
Yeah.
You just gotta be more prepared and know the cards a little better, I think.
Yeah. I just need to not be such a stupid scaredy pants about making a little three-color deck, if that's what it really
needs.
Yeah. I don't even think it's necessarily knowing the cards better. It's knowing how certain games play out, how certain types of games, certain matchups, how the heroic deck faces off against the slow deck.
Right.
You guys are perhaps used to formats like Gatecrash or M14, where it's either really fast or really slow.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not used to a deck where both strategies can be good. Oh. Well, that's the world we're living in now, bitches.
Flavortext Theater presents Pitcher Pack.
What?
The game where Ben is a top Hollywood executive.
Guys, I just want to thank you, first of all, for coming down to my office. Thanks for coming down for a little slam jam on the noon hour.
No problem.
Yeah,
Megan and I are our producers, and we've got some great new TV and movie synopsis to pitch to you today.
Yeah.
Great. How was traffic? Was traffic bad? Traffic's terrible in this city, am I right? I spend 3 hours in my car every 4 hours.
It's LA, so yeah, you're right. Okay, yep. Hold on. I'm just going to open my briefcase.
That's a nice briefcase you got there. Very.
It's very shiny. It's a shiny briefcase.
Made out of leather.
It's a beautiful briefcase.
All right, so guys, look, we got. I'm picking
one of my ideas at random.
Guys, I have a Hollywood budget. It's behind this vault. It's behind this sealed polyurethane barrier, and I need to give it to someone. We need to develop some kind of product here that can make some money, get some interest, get the kids talking about it, Twitter following, some hand-me-downs. We need product placement. I need action figures. I need disposable games that can be electronic and on the back of milk cartons. So
don't worry.
Just tell me what you got. Tell me what you got. You're creative people. I know nothing about how the process works.
Sir,
just tell me what's your idea. What do you got for me? Go.
Okay,
you,
Sir
Shorty.
Ben. Sir Ben, I have a super awesome, it's an epic.
Make me smile.
It's an epic.
Make my dick lift.
Okay, it's an epic movie adventure.
Mm.
It's set in medieval times.
Okay.
A family in a community
is
terrorized.
Oh, God.
Because the town thinks the child is a witch.
Oh, yes. Family's torn apart. I love it.
Torn apart.
Drama.
Only thing is, she actually is a witch.
What?
But know what? Her dad will do anything to save her honor and keep his family alive. It's a little Braveheart. It's a little Malcolm in the Middle. It's Defend the Hearth.
I love it. But
I'm
going to be honest. I've got a list, and I'm thinking this is probably going to be about 14th on my list.
Whatever.
All right. What about you, tall girl?
All right. So. Look, it's this movie, and it's about a woman in a she's a doctor.
Yeah.
She works in a hospital in a really big city.
Yeah, she's a modern woman trying to get by.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out her life, her career.
Yeah, exactly. She thinks that she's got it all figured out, and she's really with it. But then one day,
something happens.
Yeah. She gets hit by a car, and she isn't seriously injured, but she suffers selective amnesia, where she forgets all of her medical training.
Oh no!
And she's trying to pass herself off as a doctor, but obviously she's now doing really poorly, and a lot of her patients are dying. But she's still really well regarded in the community because she manages to pass it off as being other doctors. Mm-hmm. So she's just becoming wealthier and wealthier and more powerful. And she's accidentally, but now kind of purposefully, killing all of these people and getting her coworkers fired. She's really going mad with power over here. Okay.
Wow.
And
this is not the turn I expected.
And then the show all becomes about one, that big build until she's really at the height. She's sort of like a mafia doctor situation.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
She's like the Don of the hospital.
Wow.
And it's like, how are we going to take her down? And that's what I see as like the season 3 climax is like,
sure.
We need to take down this Don of the hospital. And that is the show, Farika's Cure.
Wow. How will you survive until next turn when you only have two black men?
Farik is here.
Mob Doctor could be a real show.
Just all right. All right. Doctor. I'm liking what I'm hearing, but I want to hear... Wet my earlobes a little bit more.
Yeah, okay. This is a family comedy TV sitcom.
Yeah.
So a man and his family of four. 2.5 kids and a dog.
I'm loving it. It's screaming Disney Channel.
Cross-country road trip to Niagara Falls.
Sweet.
The dad is a daredevil. The mom is super cautious. Mm. The mom's like, don't you dare drive the family station wagon up to the top of Niagara Falls. And the dad's like, you don't tell me what to do, woman. And he drives it over the falls, accidentally killing the entire family. But wait, they're not dead, because an old woman had been watching this whole thing from a nearby tree and waved her wand at the right moment. And now they're all vaporkin coming to ABC this fall. They turn into water people.
How will your family get by when they can no longer block creatures without flying?
Great tagline.
All right, you guys. I have a reality show to pitch to you. It's where we take different high school a cappella groups.
Okay.
And I feel like this is real.
And we give them all, we tell them that they won a free yacht cruise for their a cappella group. But then we shipwreck the yachts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, so it's a little bit American Idol. It's a little bit Survivor.
Exactly. It's a little bit Glee. Of the two.
This is perfect.
And we set them different tasks. We let loose different dangerous animals on the island.
Sure. Maybe some dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. At one point, they all get strep throat.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible. This is the show Shipwreck Singer.
That is a viable show.
Thank you.
When life gives you attacking creatures, you give those creatures minus one.
Rolls right off the tongue.
I love it. This is a hit. I'm going to put a crown on you and we'll embed diamonds into your skull because this is going to make $1 million a second. I need to get back into my car now.
Hi, Mr. Executive. But
thank you so much for meeting me here in this overcrowded cafe, which charges high prices. I will talk to you all at a later date.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, if you guys have an idea for a TV show based on a Theros card, tweet it at us at MTAcast. All right, folks. It's that time of year. The time when you hear the jingle bells, and you carve the pumpkins, and you eat some chocolate.
Holidays, special days on the calendar.
iTunes username time. Yay!
Yay!
Did you guys know you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes? Now you do.
Oh, yes. Just download the iTunes application for your Windows, Mac, or Linux operating system. And then type Magic, the Emmetering, into the search hole. And the results that come back to you should involve links that allow you to regularly receive the episodes of Magic the Amateuring, specially formatted for your hard disk.
And if you happen to be a subscriber and you want to, leave a little review about our show, we will give you a thank you by doing a pun of your iTunes username on air.
Mm.
We've had a lot of reviews recently, so we're going to do some today, and we'll do some on our next episode. The first username we have, who left a review, is Beerfister.
Mm.
Beerfister.
Beerfister, if you're ever in Minneapolis, give us a shout out because I'll put a beer in your fist for that iTunes review.
Hey, Beerfister, have no fear, mister. You're gonna get a near grifter.
Hey, Beerfister, can you put a whole beer up there or just your fist?
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, the next review is from Dave Bernazzani.
Dave Bernazzani. Wow.
That's a tough one.
So, Dave, say Dave Bernazzani, if we went camping together and we were eating over the campfire, I hope you... remember not to burn a salami.
Hey, Hey Dave Bernazzani, do you have a girlfriend and then you gave her a Dasani?
Hey Dave Bernazzani, do you cry when someone takes your lunch money and run to your mommy?
You're Dave Bernamami?
Yeah, Dave Bernamami. Oh god, that was kind of mean. Sorry, Dave.
Yep.
Next up is Smartier Pants with two S's on the end of pants.
Oh.
Smartier Pants. Are you wearing partier pants? Because I am after reading your review.
Hey, Smartier Pants. I appreciated the tirade about lactose intolerance, but don't you think some dairy in your diet would make for fartier rants?
Hey, Smartier Pants. Have you ever tried sticking Smarties down your pants? Try it out sometime. Just a little hint.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, Kyle Oliver.
Mm.
Ooh.
Kyle Oliver, I want some more, please, of your review.
It's Oliver.
Joke.
Yeah.
Oliver joke.
I think that's probably it.
Kyle Oliver, do you have a girlfriend and you pile all over her?
Oh my god. Hey Kyle Oliver, I love you.
Hey Kyle Oliver. Thank you for being a really good friend of mine from college. Listening to the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Nice. Beautiful.
Nice.
Well, everybody, that's this show for this week.
If you would like to repeat this experience, simply hit stop and then play again, and then the episode will restart.
That's not how it works.
What?
We're lying to you. Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to us. We're lying
Depending
to
Depending on the software, maybe it'll work that way.
I want to know if there's one media player that's when you press stop, it starts from the beginning.
And you press stop and then play again.
Okay. I still don't think anyone will do that.
Okay. Well, listeners, test it out.
Yeah. Tell us.
See what happens.
You can find us at www.magictheamateurring.com.
You can find a new Momir set review from Theros that Ben wrote up.
Yes. I have done a complete set review of the Theros set and all creatures in it as it pertains only to the format of Momir Basic.
I can't believe you wrote that whole thing.
Guys, I had to get off my chest.
Yeah. So go over there and check that out. It's in our blog section.
Mm.
You can follow us on Twitter, as we said before, at MTAcast, and find us on themeatery.org. If you sign up for that site, you get entered in a chance to win a Theros box.
Wow.
A box of cards. Not a bad deal.
You can also email us at magictheamateuring.com. We accept all standard text and HTML email formats and all standard mime types.
We will accept your call from prison. Yeah.
That's been Magic the Amateur, guys. Thank you so much for spending your time on us. Hopefully, at some point, we can return the favor.
And put a little of us on you.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.